Thank you, Bells. Thank you so much. They blessed us already earlier this morning in the first service, and they did it again. Thank you so very much. If you are visiting us, please come back. This is not that bad church at all. Please come back. Join us. We are glad to have you. Glad to have you. According to our tradition, we follow the order of Advent readings and Advent themes, and this Sunday is Joy Sunday. The theme of the third Sunday of Advent is joy. And let me just say something before I start preaching about it. Joy is one of the key themes in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, also in the Old Testament. But it may not be all that easy theme to understand. Many Christians have trouble or problems with understanding what true joy is all about. Yet, at the same time, it can be a little bit challenging theme to understand. At the same time, even little children grasp the main meaning of this very big topic. Why I'm saying this, for example, last Wednesday I was visiting our sons and friends preschoolers, and we talk about these Advent themes. It is educational, I believe it is, because many children come from the traditions that, and backgrounds that Advent as a season is not very familiar to them, especially for the four Advent Sundays and then the themes of Advent and the Advent read. This is all new to them. But when we talk about joy as this third Sunday of Advent theme, and you let them to think about it and talk about it, before too long, they're right there. They're right there. Like a little fellow said that, of course, if I have Jesus right here, what else I have than joy? Can you make it better than that? Can you explain better than that? At the same time, we grown-ups may have sometimes hard to grasp the true meaning of joy, what it really means. But I say, here is what I say to you this morning as a sermon title: joy is a real thing. It is a real thing. And a third Sunday of Advent focuses on joy amidst waiting, and should we say, among everything else. There is such a thing than joy. Joy, that is a real thing. When you listen to the holy readings, as we have done it this morning, it becomes very clear to you that joy comes from the Lord's nearness, not from circumstances. From the Lord's nearness. Is Christ close to your heart this morning as you are getting ready to celebrate his birthday? 1 Thessalonians urges us to rejoice always. Rejoice always. Then Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 letters in the New Testament, he wrote a special letter about this topic of joy to Philippians, as you all know this. In the book of Philippians, joy is a big theme, although there is much more else in that letter. But he starts this letter, namely Apostle Paul, starts this letter by saying, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with great joy." Every time when I think about you, it brings me joy. And every time when I pray for your request, it brings great joy to me. And you better believe there are all kinds of requests, very difficult requests, as always among people there are. But Paul believed that there's a great joy because by prayers I can bring to my people, to these Christians in the Philippians, to the Lord, and it brings me great joy to do so. The Bible teaches that when you have a joy in your heart, you are a powerful Christian. When you have joy in your heart, living witnesses to Jesus Christ through different actions. What might be these actions of ours we have after having joy in our hearts? How about justice to all people? Justice, fairness in this life, healing words, respectful words, and spreading hope wherever you go, even in your wilderness moments, experiences that are very tough and difficult. You find strength in God's transforming presence, and Holy Spirit is building you up to bring fruit of Christ wherever you go. I would like to say to us all Christian believers during this Advent season, let's not waste our time for being moody all the time. I am not saying that you are moody all the time, but sometimes even we Christians, we tend to take that moody side of the road. We start seeing things in moody angle, from moody perspective, especially when it comes matters about somebody else. No, let's take the joy of Christ deep in our hearts. And joy talks about many things like God's imminent arrival at Jesus' second coming. Did you know that that is the biggest theme of Advent? For Christian believers, that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back to his church. Jesus is coming back. Finding joy in trials, that's a big thing for us. Bringing and sharing good news, like Isaiah, prophet in the Old Testament, proclaims in Isaiah 61, and being beacons of Christ, light and truth. Now, Isaiah, prophet, says in Isaiah 61:10, hear what he says. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. I have officiated many weddings, lots of weddings, many, many weddings. This morning I tried to recall if I have officiated a wedding with deep sadness and moody wedding party, but I couldn't remember doing any of those weddings. And here's the thing, I would say so that if that was the situation, I would probably rather do something else than officiated moody wedding. You know what I'm saying? Because there's expectation of joy, and the future is there. And this is where we are as Christian believers. As we are waiting for the Lord to come back, there's enjoyment, there's gladness, there's joy fulfilling our hearts because we are anxious to see his coming, as we are anxious to celebrate his first coming at Christmas. Our epistle reading says, rejoice in the Lord always, always. How can we find reason to thank God even when things are tough and rough and not all that good? How in the world I can find that joy that's supposed to be real? Real joy is not circumstantial. Please understand this. It is not circumstantial. But joy is a spiritual state rooted in God's presence. Sometimes, and many times, there are things and circumstances that can interrupt your joy. Maybe some of you may say, Timo, I'm there right now. I am having a hard time to find any joy into my heart and my life. I am having a problem with that. one of the Advent prophecies in Isaiah 35. Again, Isaiah. By the way, if you have time to read Bible, and I so do, and prepare your heart for the Advent and for the coming Christmas, Isaiah, prophet in the Old Testament, is very joyful reading. Very joyful reading. Namely, as I have said before, Isaiah is the best evangelist in the Old Testament. If you read Isaiah a lot, and it brings you excitement, and you are so excited, and you are almost overwhelmed, if you want to cool down a little bit, read Jeremiah, because by reading him, it will cool you down pretty quickly. Because he will put you crying and mourning all the time and being sorry for yourself. There is need for that once in a while. But there are two different messages in the Old Testament. But Isaiah, in this chapter, he speaks of deserts blooming. Can you picture that? Deserts blooming because of this joy. This joy helps us to see God's work and beauty even in difficult, barren times, preparing the way for the Lord into our hearts. Are you there this morning? You need help to prepare your heart for this great joy? Here's a medicine for you. Again, Isaiah proclaims, yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel of the plain of Sharon. Finding real joy, you must get deeper than emotions and feelings, temporary feelings in your life. I am not killing anybody's feelings there. It's good to have feelings, don't get me wrong at all. But finding something real, you got to get deeper than your temporary feelings. We learn that joy is not fleeting happiness, but a deep-seated wellspring from God, found in His promises, forgiveness, and eternal presence, making your life and every step you take, a moment you live, very meaningful and purposeful. That is what joy is all about. It's permanent. It's the status of your Christian life. So joy is not just happiness. But joy and true joy is the foundation for your happy life. We must learn to differentiate temporary happiness from the enduring Christian joy found in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we believe, or we have been made to believe, that Christian life is one big emotional jump. Happy, 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 a joy, joy, joy thing. But it is not. There's so much reality into this life. It can't be just a quick jump from one happiness to joy and from joy to happiness. That is not true. Joy is foundational for the rest of the qualities of your life. Sometimes we are tempted to believe that if my life is not fulfilled with happiness all the time, there's something wrong about me. And it makes you very disappointed. In the Gospel of Luke, remember this, the prodigal son was more than happy after learning that there was Father's acceptance and love still available for him, even he has spent everything that Father has given him. He had burned his life. He was just about ruining his life. That was a gift from the Lord. But then he realized that Father was still waiting for me. Father was still loving for me. Father was still accepting me. And that is what brings real joy. When we screwed it up, when we didn't do very well, when we failed, when we didn't meet the measure, we realized that God is greater than all these things that is going on with me. He's faithful. He's much more grateful. He's much more loving than I thought. If you are joy searching this Christmas time and you realize that you are having a hard time finding it, maybe you need to get back to your spiritual roots. What I mean, do you still remember when you turned your life to Christ? When you gave your life to Jesus? When you surrendered it, everything to Him? Do you remember anything about that moment? Did you know that early Methodists, to approve that you are a real Christian, you have to tell somebody who requested about your salvation experience that exact time and moment when you believe you received salvation. We are not quite that tough here at the Berea United Methodist Church, but we still believe that salvation is a true experience that one can be assured about. If God sent His Son, only begotten Son, into this world, and He died on the cross for your salvation, for my salvation, it gotta be a very big thing to God. And He would not leave you unknown about your salvation. But the assurance of your salvation is the greatest message in the Bible. Do you still remember that moment when Jesus saved you and loved you, and you felt that special joy in your heart? Or maybe you say that I don't remember any of that. Maybe it's so long time ago. Or maybe you don't have any emotional feelings about that experience at all. I didn't have any feelings whatsoever when I turned my life to Jesus Christ. It was more or less like my decision. And I heard myself praying aloud that Jesus come into my heart, save my life. I want to be your follower. I heard myself praying. That was very special. I had never prayed that prayer. Even I've been attending church for a long time. That was a turning point in my life. But wait, next morning, feelings, emotions came to me because I realized what really has happened. The concept of my theology wasn't there, but my experience was there. God has proved it to me. Oh my goodness sake, on that morning I start singing aloud in my car, a blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and tears came into my heart, and it was overwhelming experience of joy. It was because I realized what has happened to me, that I was the child of Christ. Child of God. Maybe this Advent season, when you are preparing your heart to celebrate Christmas and Jesus' birth, that is where you need to go back to your spiritual roots. To remind yourself where you have come from, who you belong to, what is the foundation of your joy anyway. If you don't have that joy in your heart, it doesn't matter what else you have. You are not going to have this joy we are talking about. It don't matter how many presents you get, how many fancy clothing you buy for the Christmas celebration, how many times you go to church before that. If you don't have joy that Christ brings to you, you are going to miss it. And I don't want you to. This is what Advent is all about. We are preparing to receive the real joy. Maybe first time in your life, maybe again, you receive that joy. So here's the invitation to real joy. And my question is this, why is it that we have been asked to experience a true joy, Bible talks about? Yes, it is experience. It is not just a book knowledge. It is experience. As your salvation experience, it is experience. It is a true experience. It is not just a book knowledge or somebody else telling it to you. Now, John the Baptist in the New Testament, and sometimes we are having a hard time, is John the Baptist kind of still in the Old Testament, or is he something about New Testament? Because he was kind of mediator, okay? We read about him in the New Testament, but his spirit was kind of in Old Testament context. Well, the Bible says clearly that he was a forerunner prior to Christ, like we have Advent before Jesus' birth celebration. John the Baptist wanted to wake people up to see the big thing, which is Christ himself. So he urges us, even today, based on our readings, to clear out of fear and regret, to make space, to make room for the new life and deep joy Jesus offers. Do you have Christ in your heart, my friend? Every time when you talk about Jesus, does it bring joy to you? Even in the middle of troubled times, when you talk about him who is real joy, you try to refill that place with something else, and it brings you more and more desperation and sadness, because there's nobody else that can take Christ's place. Nobody else in this world. Is it something that Bible says about letting your gentleness be evident? Of course, this is the fruit of your salvation. Namely, it is the peace of God that guards your hearts and minds, allowing you to be gentle and having deep joy Jesus offers. These are the signs, true fruits of somebody who have committed his heart to Christ. Here we are preparing to celebrate our Savior's birthday. We are getting our homes ready, our churches ready, our lives ready. And sometimes we are very good at all these three, but we are forgetting to prepare our hearts ready for it. Now, something to take home. It is time to receive the real joy. Again, again, again. Or maybe first time today. Maybe there's somebody here who is worshiping with us through Facebook that this is all new to you. Is there something real? Is it something like experience about Christ? Yes, there is. And that's the main thing about Christmas. So I'm going to lead us all in prayer. At this time, please join with me as we pray and surrender our lives and heart to Jesus as a preparation for this great, great time of Christmas. Dear Heavenly Father, I hereby surrender my heart, all my sadness, all my sorrows, all my troubles and struggles to you. Come into my heart, be my Savior and Lord. Bring your joy deep into my heart. Help us to see your glory and help us to feel your peace as you forgive all my sins, whatever they are. By your grace and love, you accept me and you give me power to be a true disciple. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We continue our worship time by the ministry of giving, if the ushers can come forward at this time.